Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup. And a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm very pleased to say that Professor Mackinder has returned. We're going to begin with a short piece on the President of the United States addressing the emergency in the Middle East, the war in the Middle East, and then turn to the professor and his thoughts. And then we'll turn to the professor's thoughts about the war in Ukraine. It's a split-screen warfare right now in Eurasia. Here's the president.
If the United States stands with Israel, we will not ever fail to have their back. Hamas terrorists crossing in Israel, killing not only Israeli soldiers, but Israeli civilians. In the street, in their homes, innocent people murdered, wounded, entire families taken hostage by Hamas. Just days after Israel marked the holiest of days in the Jewish calendar, it's unconscionable. Israel has the right to defend itself and its people. Full stop. There's never justification for terrorist attacks. And my administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering. Let me say this as clearly as I can. This is not a moment for any party hostile to Israel to exploit these attacks to seek advantage. The world is watching. I've also been in contact with the King of Jordan, spoken with members of Congress, directed my national security team to engage with their Israeli counterparts, military to military, intelligence to intelligence, diplomat to diplomat, to make sure Israel has what it needs. I've also directed my team to remain in constant contact with leaders throughout the region, including Egypt, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Oman, the UAE, as well as our European partners and the Palestinian Authority.
And I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, returning at a moment of crisis for the planet. We are at war in Europe, and the professor is here to provide us his big picture of the capitals at war in Europe. We're now at war in the Middle East. Israel's been attacked by Hamas, which is headquartered in Gaza, however, developed over these years with great certainty. Hamas is a direct surrogate for the Islamic Republic of Iran. The money that pours in there for arms and the tunnels and the command center is Iranian money. And in addition, Hamas has set out most of the trouble that we've seen in the north of Israel these last months, either Hezbollah or its agents, and in the West Bank. Again, these attacks in Israel by groups said to be allied with the PLO, these have drawn all of our attention to the north of Israel, along with, of course, the Syrian catastrophe. Now the attack comes from the south. The news is that four Israeli divisions, reservists were called up immediately, are headed south to Gaza. At the same time, Israel's launched counterstrikes. However, it is the middle of the night, and we await for sunrise to understand the scale of this trouble. There are reported 200 Israelis dead and more than 200 Palestinians dead. That's incomplete. It's the fog of war. There are also videos showing that Hamas or its agents have captured Israeli soldiers and civilians. I've seen video of soldiers being harassed and pummeled by the Gaza crowds as they're brought in on vehicles. However, all of that is fog of war. Nothing's definitive. We begin, however, with the professor observing what this split-screen war means, war in Europe and war in the Middle East at the same time. Professor, it's wonderful to welcome you back. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Your thoughts. The President of the United States says rock solid, and the U.S. is in constant communication right now. He said legislative to legislative, executive to executive, military to military, intelligence to intelligence. politicos to politicos, diplomats to diplomats. That is the U.S. backing. However, war in Europe and war in the Middle East is, well, it's overwhelming. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening. What strikes me, first a general point, is that what one learns from history is the chaotic path to war, which is admittedly determined to some extent by the ambitions and desires and fears of the countries involved, but also to some extent by errors, by misrepresentations, by illusions. And what we're seeing now is very clear confirmation that that fundamental fact of how we arrive at catastrophic war has not changed. That the path we're on, which in Europe began with a whim of Mr. Putin's, which turned out not to be well considered, is now becoming, sadly, the path to war is becoming more brightly lit up as a result of this in the Middle East. And we'll get to the very high level of provocation in which China is involved in East Asia. And of course, there are little things like Armenia. We won't have time to get there, or the changing role of Turkey. But the second point that I'd make, if we can just look at the Middle East and understand why the Middle East is particularly difficult, is that there is no solution to the Middle East problem as it's currently described or currently proclaimed. The Israeli position since Zionism was invented is that there must be an Israel, it must be a secular Jewish state, and that the territory should be essentially the old Palestinian mandate. Now, the current Israeli government certainly is not acting as if it is looking to trade land for peace or to make a compromise about the structure of the state or anything like that. They believe that somehow four Israeli divisions can enforce an order on the Middle East indefinitely that is in accord with their wishes. But at the same time, the Palestinians, and we must remember that the Palestinians used to, until 1948, they were the population of this area. The Jewish population was smaller and weaker, and the Palestinians, as a result of the uncertainty of war or the surprises of war, ended up being defeated in their attempt to destroy the state of Israel after it had been proclaimed in 1948. I guess it was May 14th, 1948 that it was proclaimed. Now, neither side is capable of achieving their ultimate goal, which is the goal that is non-negotiable somehow, that either Israel is going to control the whole thing or the Israeli state is somehow going to disappear and all the inhabitants are going to disappear. Neither of those things is going to happen. But the two sides are not capable of making peace between themselves. So that means that the outside has to be involved. And that's the boldest example, the clearest example of the general problem, which is that peace around the world depends on today. It depends very much on guidance by the great powers and by agreement among them.
Professor, because there's a split screen war here, I ask a question that doesn't have an answer. This attack, it's a surprise of the Israelis, and you and I have had experience with Israeli intelligence. It's very, very good. It's human intelligence, it's signals intelligence, it's able to read the weather. The surprise is complete. It was launched on the morning of a very important holiday, the 50th anniversary of the war 50 years ago. It is very difficult for me to understand how the U.S. signals intelligence missed this. It's equally difficult for me to understand how Israel missed this, unless and until I speculate that it wasn't Hamas that was in charge of the planning and the execution. It was an outside power. Iran is possible, but Iran is now allied with Moscow, and Moscow is capable of this scale of surprise. We know that from the Russian history of surprise. That would have been February of 2022, most recently, surprising everybody going for the capital when we were told that it was just exercises to secure the border. So I suggest now we're going to go through days, perhaps weeks, perhaps years, perhaps a century, speculating about who was responsible for this attack. Just before we go to the war in Ukraine, because we've missed your thoughts about the capitals, do you entertain the possibility that this war in the Middle East, it's a war, says Netanyahu. That means it's not an exercise. It's not an operation.
It's definitely a war.
Yeah, it's not going to end in 48 hours. It's a war to the knife, as the phrase in the Middle East. Do you entertain the possibility that this serves Russian purpose, if it was Russia involved? Does it help Moscow?
Well, my immediate reaction is that it doesn't help Moscow. I think Moscow has got more, or whoever's in charge in Moscow, if anyone is, they have more problems than they can handle now. Now, it might have been that in the old days, the Soviet Union would have benefited in some indescribable way from this, but I don't think it's true. And my inclination, and it's really based on one thing, which is the secrecy that you describe. You mentioned signals intelligence and so forth. The fact that the Palestinians were able to keep this completely secret, and it's a surprise, even the Israelis, who are breathtakingly skilled at intelligence, the fact they could do that suggests to me that there was a kind of communication silence about it for a very long time when it was being prepared. There was an awareness that they couldn't use cell phones to talk to each other. They didn't send messages that could be intercepted to any outside power. Otherwise, it becomes just incomprehensible. To be fair or to be realistic, 1973, the Yom Kippur War, was also caught the Israelis by surprise. I think it's very difficult to maintain yourself at full vigilance, ready to go on a second's notice for 70 years. It's very, very difficult to do. And I think that there's been a degree of complacency about this. But that's another whole area to go into. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot from the Israelis.
Professor H.J. McIndar, international relations, commenting on the split screen, a war in Europe and the war in the Middle East. The fog of war descends on the Middle East. We're going to turn to Ukraine. There have been surprising developments these last days about the U.S. Congress, about European Union members, and about Kyiv. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.